Heart of Crystal! There's too many comic books! The gemstone is giving you what it thinks you want! You're a superhero!
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Merry Christmas to all of you and a Happy New Year. My name is Greg Davies.
And I am Tom Cheridar.
And you're listening to the TARDIS Blend, the Geeks of Doom podcast that reviews the latest episodes of Doctor Who, the crazy sci-fi series from the BBC that follows the Time Lord traveling space and time. And, of course, as we always remind our listeners at the beginning of a show, we do talk spoilers, so if you haven't seen The Return of Dr. Mysterio yet, I would suggest that you hold off from listening to what we're talking about. Go and check it out. In fact, what I would recommend, Tom, and I think you might agree with me here, before listening to what we've got to say, I would suggest actually watching the Husbands of Riversong and then The Return of Dr. Mysterio, because the two of them flow together very well.
It does. It does. So it's been a while, man. It's been since last Christmas special.
It's a year. It's been a year. So it's been a while. Yeah.
That's how long it's been since who?
Yeah, yeah. So before we get into that, though, you and I were having a bit of a chat pre-recording, and we both agreed that on today of all days, we're recording this 2 days after Christmas on December 27th, and today's the day that we received the news that after suffering a massive heart attack last week, Carrie Fisher, a.k.a. Princess Leia, passed away today. Very sad news. It punched a lot of people in the feels, including Tom
punched
and myself.
Punched me in the feels, yeah.
So, and I made a post on Facebook today in which I stated, "Dear 2016, you took one of my metal heroes in the form of Lemmy. You took one of my Star Wars heroes, among two others who died from Star Wars in the form of Carrie Fisher. If you touch anyone from Doctor Who, I'm going to take on a scorched earth policy and burn everything down everywhere. Yeah. Everything will be destroyed. You will all die." So,
you know, but Doctor Who at least is a show that rolls with the momentum. I don't know, man. I don't want to go overboard with our tribute here, but I just am so sad. I love that woman. I thought she was real as hell. She was incredible. She had an amazing career. Everybody poor went out for her. And Carrie, if you're up there, go one with the Force. We all miss you.
Yeah, mourn them, do not miss them, do not celebrate their life, as Yoda would say. It's hard. It's harsh, but. You know, it's what a year it's been. We've lost so many people, in the celebrity field at least. And, you know, without delving too deep into politics, if you were from one particular side of politics, or if you find yourself in one, particular side of politics rather than the other, this year was the ultimate shitbag for you. Really. Yeah. To be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of Trump supporters out there and they dig the guy and all that, but this year was, especially for the Hillary supporters, including all of the stuff that's been going on in the media and the deaths and everything. This is what happens when you have a year without Doctor Who.
Maybe the BBC will realize this next time they decide.
Well, they must. Well, I'll tell you what, mate. We've got a lot of stuff to go through. This is the beginning of the end for Stephen Moffat. This is the beginning of his last hurrah as the showrunner, the producer of Doctor Who. And as much as I love his writing style and his work, I think, to be perfectly honest, it's about time he announced he was stepping down. It feels like the right time. In fact, it feels like he should have probably had stepped out a couple of seasons before. And
probably right after that first season of Clara.
Yeah, you know what, man? This is what my line of thinking is. I went back and had a listen to our last episode where we reviewed the Husbands of River Song, and we were both very happy with it. But thinking back to the previous two seasons with Peter Capaldi and Stephen Moffat as showrunner, as much as I love Capaldi and as much as I love Moffat, we continually found ourselves reviewing those episodes where you would love one episode, but that same episode I would hate. And then the next week it would flip. Neither of us could be fully satisfied with Stephen Moffat's work. And it was really getting to me. It was really getting to me. So I was thinking.
I know we even had a talk. We were like, do we want to do?
Yeah.
TARDIS blend when it feels so much like more of the same. And
yeah, agreed. Absolutely. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it was just, I'm not finding the freshness that I was getting with Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat in the early days with Matt Smith. And, I'd gotten to the point where, you know what? If the return of Dr. Mysterio sucks, I'm going to do the next episode of the TARDIS blend and review the first episode of Mr. Robot instead. You know, that's what I was going to do. You know, that's what I was going to do. I'm happy to say this reinvigorated my passion for the TARDIS blend. I'm giving the return of Dr. Mysterio a very generous 5 out of 5.
Oh man. I'm not.
What are you giving it?
I'm gonna withhold because too often, as you mentioned, we are in polar opposites. I'm gonna save my review till my rating till the end.
All right, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll throw mine out there and you throw yours at the end. Okay, let's talk about the show. It was a great episode. The premise of the show, of course, Doctor ends up in. A few of the fans actually nailed down the timeline. We definitely confirmed that the episode was set in sometime in 2016 because there was a Pokemon Go reference. But we were trying to work out the date that he first met the character of Grant Gordon. So it begins, as we worked out, in 1992, specifically Christmas 1992. That's where we first see the Doctor encountering, Grant Gordon.
Is that the only overt Christmas reference in this entire episode? Because I felt like it was.
Yes, it was. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
I am not.
You want it to be Christmassy?
Yeah.
You really?
It's a Christmas special.
Well, the Husbands of River Song wasn't really Christmassy, though.
But that was a really good episode.
Yes, it was a very good episode. But the last
harsh in my mellow, man.
Well, remember, the last Christmassy episode was awful, and that was last Christmas where they just wasted Nick Frost as Santa Claus. Oh, you remember that? It was terrible. Yeah, you know, so maybe they're distancing themselves from that for a few years for that reason. Perhaps. I mean, I don't know.
And it could have been a little bit. I mean, they could have done – I feel like it could have done a little bit more without making it a full-on bring-in Santa Claus for the adventure. You know, yeah. I felt like Russell T. Davies struck a very nice balance with holiday episodes.
Right. I think so. I think so, too. And I think Moffat did fairly well with the Christmas specials with Matt Smith for the most part. I don't think I can think of a dud that he put out with Matt Smith for the Christmas special. The only criticism I can remember is for the Doctor... the widow and the wardrobe or whatever that episode was called, where at the end, you know, they brought Amy and Rory back. And that was just, it was silly to me because we'd already seen the natural conclusion and farewell for those companions. It just didn't feel right to me. Anyway, we're diving too far into the past. Dr. Mysterio is the first episode of Doctor Who where we truly immerse ourselves in the world of superheroes and comic book fandom. And I love all of the references to the comic book lore and superhero movies, the tributes to Superman the movie. You're right there, mate?
Yeah, my dogs go crazy.
Oh, right. Superman the movie, the Lois Lane interview, specifically with the whole thing about revealing the identity. And did you need me to stop for a minute so you can deal with the dog there or?
Nope, I'm ready to go.
Okay. The And the other thing that, that got me was, do you remember when Lex Luthor contacted Superman on that special frequency? We got to see that in this episode too. So that was really nice. Did you catch any other references, mate, that, that stood out to you?
I didn't. I just felt like it was such a cheap, recycled. I didn't enjoy it. I honestly, I hated the superhero crap.
Really?
And you know me. I'm a huge superhero guy. But I just felt like it was so lazy and not inventive and just didn't do anything for me. And it's just kind of like, here's the plot device that we use. And this is my criticism of Moffat far too often. He gets in his formula and I see it and I can predict it and I'm just done with it. And I just saw the whole way. It's like, you could take this entire thing out and replace it with anything else.
You know,
literally any other story, and it would still basically be the same thing.
You know, the biggest criticism I'm seeing from fans out there is that the plot was far too similar to the Slitheen from Christopher Eccleston's season, where the aliens dress themselves up as human beings. They have a plan to crash a spaceship into planet Earth and take over the leadership of the world.
Yeah.
So, and that, I mean, that was okay.
That's right. In fact, that's my pick at the end of this episode. Go back and watch.
Yeah. I like that original episode. I could have done without the fart jokes though. It just didn't fit right for me with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But, I loved this. I thought it was
really
great.
I like fart jokes in general.
Yeah.
ask all my exes.
I loved the scene where the Doctor is criticizing the comic books and, you know, he's holding that John Byrne series of Superman. He's like, look, Lois Lane's a reporter and she doesn't even know that Clark Kent is Superman. Look, I figured it out. And the kid's like, well, everybody knows that. He's like, but I don't.
I did like. Yeah. So not to boo-poo it, or do you want to get any more bad out? Because as this is a Christmas season, I want to keep my criticisms to a minimum.
My other criticism that I had, I removed it after. Let me tell you what my original criticism was. It was that I felt at the end that there was a plot hole, and that was when we see the German guy that had the brain in him from the Shoal of the Winter Harmony. All of a sudden had emptied his head and somehow got into the unit soldier's head without surgeons. How did that happen? But as my fantastic girlfriend Jen pointed out to me, she suggested that it was established in the episode that the Harmony Shoal aliens had been on Earth for 5 years. So maybe that specific alien is not in the soldier's head, but is another of the aliens indicating that unit has been compromised. So,
that could be cool to explore.
Yeah, so it looks to me that we're definitely going to be seeing the Harmony Shoal again. I think they're a pretty interesting villain. Definitely not my favorite. I dig the whole split the head open and, you know, use your part of your brain as storage. Which they had highlighted as well in The Husbands of Riversong as well. This is not the first time we've seen these villains. These guys were in The Husbands of Riversong as well. So I feel like he's kind of taking the trope that he started with the Great Intelligence and starting a plot arc with these guys. That's what I think he's going with. So that's why I removed my criticism on that, because I thought, maybe it isn't necessarily a plot hole. It was deliberately set up that way. I'm sure he'd love for people to believe that, but that's what I'm kind of thinking at this point.
But not to boo-poo too much on the superhero plot. I didn't like it. I just thought it was useless. I felt like you could have slipped in a generic Christmas-y story, or at least ones that referenced that the time period was Christmas. And I don't know. Phenomenal acting all around. I thought everybody did a great job. Overall, I enjoyed the episode. And can you know, we're ready to jump into the good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Some good stuff. I love Matt Lucas in this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was wonderful to see him return. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I hope he sticks around. You know me, Greg. I have wanted a regular alien companion, a true companion, for as long as I can remember Doctor Who happening. Not a quasi-alien that looks like a human, so much so as somebody who's quirky and weird and just strange, you know? And I felt you pronounce his name Nardole?
Yeah, Nardole. The first, according to some of the fans at Gallifrey Base, they seem to think that it's the first time the Doctor had a singular male companion on the television show since the mid-1980s, early 1980s or something.
You know what it felt like? It felt like brilliant Peter Capaldi in that a more sophisticated Bill and Ted. And I just loved it, dude. I could listen to them all day, and I hope we get more.
Yeah, I love the bantering. I love the discussions that they had. I thought Capaldi was firing on all cylinders this episode. I really felt that.
He's so good. He's such a good doctor.
He's my favorite, but for sure. But I'm really finding, you know, when he mixes his own quirks that he's already introduced to Doctor Who with elements of Tom Baker, because he can do really good, he can do really great Tom Baker impersonations. He has these amazing connections that he makes to other doctors in nearly every episode. And, you know, he is most definitely my favorite doctor, hands down. I mean, he won my heart over completely with the anti-war speech in the Zygon episodes from last season. I mean, that was just, that monologue was amazing. No one else could have delivered that. No one. It was meant for him. And now we're seeing writing that's specifically designed for the Capaldi Doctor. I think we're really going to see him flourish this year and really give, hopefully with him sticking around, the next showrunner, Chris Chibnall, a lot to work with Peter Capaldi in Series 11.
Oh, I don't see how he couldn't. I mean, Capaldi is he's a real actor.
Oh, yeah.
He does. He works for a living.
Well, I'm going to correct you there. He's not just an actor. He is an artiste and a performer. Remember, he's also a producer and a writer. And he is additionally a musician. Remember, he started out with Craig Ferguson in a punk band.
Which brings me to my other offbeat, off-topic thing. Can we please just get a Craig Ferguson episode?
Oh, totally. We need that.
We've had two James Corden episodes.
Yeah, that was before he came over and took over Craig Ferguson's show, though. So, anyway, I love this episode, dude. I just thought it was
his show. You take Doctor Who cameos.
I love this. It was like a complete romp into silliness. The best thing was for me, I didn't find it cheesy. I didn't find it campy. I didn't find it disrespectful to comic book fans or their heroes. I felt that if there was anything that it was closer to, it just felt like it had maybe a tip of the hat towards like the early seasons of Arrow and maybe the first two seasons of The Flash on the CW here in the States. It certainly felt that way. It wasn't meant to be like a dark, you know, superhero mythos, but at the same time, you know, because the last time
I just thought it was lazy. I get what you're saying. I don't think they talked down to anybody. Mm. I think they really did their homework.
Well, but talking to you as a long-term Doctor Who fan, remember, I grew up with this shit, and I'm a big fan of the classic Doctor Who stuff. Doctor Who has tried to introduce superheroes before with zero, not very good success. The first superhero they introduced was a character called the Carcass. And it's not carcass as in a dead body. It's carcass spelled K-A-R-K-U-S. And the superhero called the Carcass appeared in the episode The Mind Robber with Patrick Troughton in 1968. And that costume looked shit. It's not very well looked back on by fans.
Yeah. So I don't think we've seen the last of the Ghost.
No, he's coming back for sure. I'm absolutely sure of that. And that's going to lean into one of my theories I'm going to throw out there later on. Little tidbit for you. Where do you think the name Dr. Mysterio actually came from?
That I have no idea.
I mean, you might be tempted to go down the Spider-Man route, right?
You know, normally yes, but Mysterio is a villain that hasn't been cinemized.
Right.
And it's so obscure that it almost made me think, I don't know what they're referencing, but I feel like it's something.
Okay, it comes from Mexico. The title, really? Yes, the title of Doctor Who in Mexico is Doctor Mysterio.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
But I love that they threw that reference in.
Yeah, so, and they actually took that and added it to the show, which when I read that,
probably
I was like,
super confusing
cool.
to them because it's Doctor Mysterio.
The return of myself. It kind of gave away the game to them.
I am here.
Yeah. Or maybe they gave them a different title in Mexico. I wonder if they gave them like The Arrival of the Ghost or something. It might have been, they might have had a different title there. The one thing I will give to Moffat with this particular script, I felt that he gave it a lot of work. I felt all of the elements that got introduced got used, including references that were dropped early in the show that didn't initially seem to have any relevance until much later on. For example, that line that was dropped about, you know, this building being able to withstand a nuclear bomb. You know, I'd never even thought that that would actually play into it until it actually came up much later on. I thought that was very well played. The whole concept of like, well, New York City's not a capital city. I thought that was very good. All those little tidbits, they actually paid off. There was a payoff for them at the end. The other aspect of this show that I really enjoyed is that, this particular episode reminded me of the Mad Max series, not so much in terms of the plot or the landscape or the aura of the movies, if you will, but in the sense that, with the exception of the first Mad Max film, Mad Max 2, 3, and 4, Fury Road, all of those, it's not Mad Max's story. It's somebody else's story that Mad Max just so happens to stumble into. He's really a supporting character. And in this case, that's the same with the Doctor. This isn't the Doctor's story. This is the story of the Ghost.
Yeah. Which is probably why I was kind of so meh on it.
Oh, okay. So you wanted more of the stuff from the perception or from, the perspective of the Doctor.
I wanted one of two things. I wanted either a Christmas story or something that you could watch at Christmas and still feel like it was Christmas, and this one did not give me that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I either wanted something I could play in the background years from now that, you know, this is a Doctor Who special, you know, and I didn't get that. The other thing I would have preferred is I would have liked to have a Doctor Who story in place of that, and I just don't feel like I got it. Again, I don't feel like this was a horrible episode. I thought this was an entertaining episode.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, that's what we always say with Doctor Who. I mean, I'm guessing your rating when we get to it is not going to be very low. There's definitely not going to be 5, though. I can see what you're saying, because even the ones that we don't like, the ratings that we typically give Doctor Who, we always believe that they're always worth coming back and watching for. The ratings we're giving are in comparison to other episodes. And there are most certainly better episodes than others. I particularly love this one. But I want to, can we get into some spoilers and theories?
Yeah.
All right. Cause, there were a lot of clues dropped in this episode. And the biggest clue to me that came up at the beginning of, this episode was that the Doctor was building a machine in New York City. And a lot of people missed the reference there, but he said something about it to do with a paradox that he had created. And the last paradox in New York that he was responsible for that we remember involves Rory and Amy. This is a huge clue. They're coming back.
You think they're coming back?
Absolutely. I think we're being set up for a massive season finale from Moffat at the end of Series 10. To me, it feels like and looks like he's going down a similar route to Russell T. Davies and bringing back favorite characters that he created for the end of his tenure. That's why the Ghost really worked very well for me in this episode. I can really see him popping back up, and there were little references to him also that were plot threads that were left dangling for a return later on as well. So, you know, especially like with the fact that his girlfriend, you know, was somebody that he fell in love with at the same time he received the gemstone, the wish gemstone.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we're going to see more of that coming down the line. Nardole came back this episode. He's set to be in at least the first four episodes of Series 10, so we know he's coming back. We know Clara and Maisie, they're still out in the universe with their diner TARDIS. And you're a big believer that they would probably come back at one stage. Moffat obviously also loves bringing back Vastra and her companions. And of course, there's always the chance of the return of Riversong again and Captain Jack as well as characters like Osgood and Kate Stewart. I'm absolutely convinced that he is planning something big. And so my theory is that Missy, who was confirmed to be in Series 10, I'm going to guess that she teams up with the Shoal of Winter Harmony, who are continuing their invasion of Earth, and the only way to stop and end it all is to get Moffat's Children of the Doctor back to help him stop this catastrophe. It's going to be another Avengers Assemble moment, just like when David Tennant took on the Daleks with the Dr. Donna, but all done with Moffat's creations instead.
Yeah.
And that'll be epic. I think we're going to...
I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Hopefully the execution's there.
I want to point out one other thing as well, before we jump into the other topics. Two factors that were introduced in both The Husbands of Riversong and, Return of Dr. Mysterio. The Harmony Shoal, the aliens with the split heads, and gems. You remember in The Husbands of Riversong, the whole focus was that diamond that was in the king's head. That Riversong wanted.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a few people who think we're entering some kind of Infinity Stone saga, kind of like Tom Baker's Key to Time series. But I think what we're going to see is that the use of gems in these episodes and in the coming season are probably going to be more along the lines of something thematic or symbolic rather than being solid plot points. And, of course, we also have a few other dangling threads from previous seasons, like Gus and the Mummy on the Orient Express left a lot of dangling plot threads. And, of course, there's always the rumors of the Valyard and the Dream Lord and Omega returning at some point, too. So lots of things to look forward to. You got any theories or any thoughts about what we might be seeing in Moffat's last run?
But you know what I do have, Greg, is a reaction to the preview next season reel, which
I'm glad you brought that up. Do you want me to play it? Do you want me to play it? I've got the clip right here. Why don't we play it so that everyone can hear it, and then we'll jump into it. Here we go. This is the official Series 10 trailer.
I'm Bill. I serve chips. He's a professor or a lecturer, or as I call him, Dr. Watt. And now we go everywhere.
Like a
spaceship.
Kitchen. Any space?
Where are we?
Which way is that?
What's a Dalek?
Can I use the toilet?
Any time.
Get in!
What?
And now I see everything differently.
Exterminate! Where are we?
Basically in the middle of a war.
And it's not as bad as it sounds.
I'm the Doctor. I will save all your lives, and when I do, you will spend the rest of them wondering who I was.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, completely, but that's not a recent thing.
Some great one-liners in there. See the universe anew is Stephen Moffat's catchphrase that he threw in there. Your reaction, Tom?
It was wonderful.
Yeah. I'm undecided about Bill. Pearl Mackey, who's playing the new character Bill.
Really? I loved her, dude. I thought she's so different. And you know what I get is I get a very Rose vibe to her, but in a non, like, you can tell she's going to end up with the Doctor sort of way.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's one of the things I really like about what I'm seeing so far is that
like when she says, "What's a Dalek?" Like, it's not just like, "Oh, we're expecting this new character." It's like, literally, I believe that that's a line that would come out of her mouth, and I just I don't know. It's seconds.
But I think Moffat's got a great formula here because now we've got two companions. We've got what's his name again? Nardole's in there, and we've got Bill, played by Pearl Mackey, and obviously she's the character that's there for new people, for new fans, whereas Nardole's kind of there for, you know, those of us who have, you know, been around for a while and been big fans of Doctor Who. Is like, you know, he's kind of like the Captain Jack of Christopher Eccleston's year, where he was a companion that knew a lot more about space and time and time lords and technology and science than somebody from the modern era, you know, and that worked well for a long-term fan. So I think we're going to have a nice mix this season. But that said, dude, I got to say, like, fans are really fucking hating on Pearl Mackey, big time. Like, I'm watching a lot of comments on Gallifrey Base. These people are insane.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they're hating
her. Why are they hating her?
Because like, she's so simple. I serve chips. Can I go to the toilet? That kind of criticism.
What do you think Rose was?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm with you. I'm on the same page as you. Now, I mean, the reason I'm undecided about Bill is, of course, we haven't seen her in a full episode yet. You know, so, you know, we'll wait and see what the first episode in April is going to deliver for us. And then we'll be able to start assessing her performance and Bill as a character on her own. So I think, I mean, it's an interesting idea. And I'm willing to let Moffat set it up for Chris Chibnall to move on with. He's got a good mix that he's leaving. I would like to think, he's going to try and leave in place for Chris Chibnall to take and develop even further. Okay. The first thing that I noticed, in this trailer is, did you see the scene where, there was that girl and she was like screaming? And at first I thought she was in the rain, but then I saw all of the water dribbling down her face and out of her mouth. It looks like we're going to see a return of the water from the Water of Mars.
Yeah, I did. You know, that's not even the only piece of footage that I felt like we got. I can't recall exactly, but I felt like there was another reference to the to that episode, to that special.
Yeah, I think there was. I think that there was one where I think we see the Doctor in his spacesuit jump into ice water somewhere, and I have a feeling that may be related. You might want to open up your chat there on Skype, Tom. I'm going to send you a link to a picture. Might even give you the preview there, and you can have a good old chuckle at it when it opens up. This is a picture.
Check this out.
I'll have the link in the show notes for this image.
I have no idea what I'm looking at except for
describe to the listeners what you're looking at.
I would say a horribly racist white version of Rick James.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go. That's actually an interesting one. They're a group of androids called the Mavellans. And the first time they appeared was in Tom Baker's first episode of his, I think it was his third season, where Romana had regenerated. She was played by Lala Ward. It was called Destiny of the Daleks. And the Daleks had teamed up with a bunch of androids called the Mavellans. The Mavellans are in this fucking trailer. That scene where you hear the Wilhelm scream?
Are?
Yeah, that scene where you see the Wilhelm scream and they fly across the room? That's a couple of fucking Mavellans right there, dude. They're coming back.
I have no idea.
That's like the most obscure reference to classic Doctor Who that I could possibly think of that anyone could bring up. And so it looks like the Doctor and his companions end up in the middle of a war between the Daleks and the Mavellans, and they have to try and get out of there or something.
So I got it. The second reference to the, what was it, the Waters of Mars? Or
yeah.
Is Doctor Who in a spacesuit with all red background, and he's in some sort of facility, which it's very, you know, it could be anything, but I felt like it was more, And it was also the last scene that they showed before they cut it out. And, might I add, they referenced River Song right before the episode cut out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's because there was that connection to the previous episode. Remember, for the Doctor, it's been 24 years between these two episodes.
Yeah.
Because one night on that planet that they were at lasts for 24 Earth years.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's very interesting to see where he's at now. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that he is where he is as a character right now, about to come across Bill. Because if you remember when Matt Smith met Clara for the first time, he was all mopey and fucking emo and shit. And that was really depressing. I never liked seeing the Doctor like that. And I think Peter Capaldi is handling this transition very well.
I liked it, but just to kind of recap, I wanted to hear your thoughts before I give a rating. But I gotta say, 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. So that
3 out of 5 for me seems fair.
Well, that's not too bad. I mean, that gives us an overall rating of 8 out of 10. I think that's a pretty solid rating for a Doctor Who episode. I think we decided a couple of seasons ago that a good quality Doctor Who episode, as far as the two of us are concerned, are the ones that we've rated 8 or above. Not necessarily the ones you'd recommend to new fans, but good episodes that you can return to.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. All right, so there you go, folks. 8 out of 10 from us here at the TARDIS Blend. Lots of stuff coming up this year. Next episode of the TARDIS Blend, by the way, Tom, episode 100.
It's a momentous occasion.
I can't wait. The first episode of Series 10 is going to be our 100th episode of the TARDIS Blend. I think that's cool. So I'm looking forward to being able to check out the new series. Lots of news coming up, of course, and you'll be able to check all that out at geeksofdoom.com and on the web around the place, on the Twitters and the Facebooks and stuff like that. I think we'll bring it to a close now. One other reminder I have for our Doctor Who fans out there. Many of you are also Sherlock fans, being closely connected with Mark Gatiss and Steve Moffat. And the new episode of Sherlock premieres, I believe it's New Year's Day. Is that right, Tom?
You are correct.
Excellent. Okay, so check it out. New Year's Day, which is only a few days from now. Sherlock will be out then. I'm looking forward to it. Tom's looking forward to it. And we're most definitely going to be checking that one out as well. Well, that's all I've got here. Tom, where can we catch you on the web, mate?
You can check me out over at Geeks of Doom. Check out all of Greg's stuff everywhere possible, because I don't really write a whole lot these days. I just live for the TARDIS Blend.
Oh, you're also – do you get on the Twitters a lot now, or you still never. On the Twitter? You're never on Twitter anymore?
No. Tom's around. Donald Trump has ruined Twitter for me. Sorry, guys. I did not mean to make this political. I would have said that for anybody in his situation of either political party. God bless.
I'm looking forward to the episode of Doctor Who 20 years from now where the Doctor meets Donald Trump as president.
Oh, man. Too bad we will not be alive.
Well, man, you remember he met Richard Nixon as well, so.
Yeah, unless we, they make some significant advancements, and we become faces of Bo.
Actually, if you put his wig on the face of Bo kind of looks a bit like Trump, come to think of it.
Oh, scary.
Yeah, anyway.
Bo.
Yeah, anyway, let's jump out of the politics. Hey everyone, we will catch you next time later in 2017, probably sometime around April, for the next edition, episode 100 of the TARDIS Blend. We'll catch you then. See you later. Bye-bye.